Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. I've got a great call planned for you. Today's call will include 30 minutes of content and about 30 minutes of Q&A, depending on how much interaction we have a little bit later on today. You can check your email for a copy of the notes from this call. And to ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. And a great place to be on the webinar during the call, or on the call, a great place to be on the internet during the call is out on Facebook, and you can join me out on our Facebook group for the Sales Technology Training Program. And let's set a goal for today's call of 25 comments. And I just posted a message out in the Facebook group, so you can feel free to post there, share your takeaways or what you're learning on the call today. And you can also access the recordings of these calls out on our membership page. Just look for the link in the email message that I send out every Wednesday. The Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems online to generate leads and earn sales. There are 12 modules of content, and today we're going to be talking about appointment scheduling tools and CRM systems for follow-up. And I wanted to take a moment and just let you know about, share a quick announcement here. I have an upcoming webinar that is coming up this Friday that I encourage you to attend. And the topic is on 5 common mistakes that people make with their websites. And so I'm going to take you through the process and teach you about some of those areas that people struggle with related to their websites. And I'll share the link out in the Facebook group. And again, that's 5 common mistakes people make their website. And you can click there and get registered. You can also just go out directly to socialmediaoutcomes.com/website-mistakes. And that's going to be on Friday the 19th, Friday, December 19th at 11 a.m. Pacific time. All right. Now, let me jump right into our topic for today. And I always like to share personal experiences as I go through and share content. So I've got a great story that I'll tell you a little bit later about a strategy that I implemented around appointment setting and had a great result from that. But first of all, let's talk about the different systems that you would have in your business. Eric Lofholm, one of my mentors, shared with me 3 key systems that you need in your business. One is lead generation, another one is appointment setting, and a third is lead conversion. Today we're focusing in on appointment setting, so that's kind of the middle system that you would need. Lead generation on the front end means you have new leads coming in. Once you have new leads coming in, you want to book appointments. And then third, you want to focus on lead conversion strategies or how to move someone from a prospect into a buyer. So first of all, what is an appointment? Appointment really is an opportunity for you to connect with a prospective customer or client and in some cases to ask questions, but ultimately to deliver information or details about your products, programs, or services. And you might have a couple conversations with someone or an opportunity to talk with them before you actually deliver details about your product, program, or service. But an appointment isn't limited to a one-on-one conversation. It could also be a one-to-many presentation. It could be a teleseminar or a webinar where you have a chance to communicate information. It could also be a video as well. And if you've never thought of a video or a webinar as being an appointment, that might create a shift in the way that you think about how you communicate with prospective customers and clients and how do you lead them to a next step in working with you. So why set appointments? What's the reason to set appointments? Well, it's one of the best ways for you to actually generate sales. And of course, there are other ways to do it. You could send out an email and include a link where somebody could go. But in most cases, when we have an opportunity to connect with people, either one-on-one or one-to-many, it's going to satisfy one of the hurdles in you encouraging people to purchase or sign up from you, which is in establishing trust and rapport. Because when you deliver a presentation, you have an opportunity to develop trust and rapport. If it's one-on-one, it's easy. Just having a conversation with someone, talking with them, asking questions, sharing details about you and your business. If it's in a presentation, then it will maybe a little bit more structured format where you're sharing details and building trust and rapport along the way as well. Even sharing customer stories is a way to develop trust and rapport because it shows examples of how you work with your customers and clients. And then other people can see themselves in that story as well. They might feel connected to the person that you're sharing the story about and feel like they have something in common. Now, let me talk about some tips here to set appointments. First of all, I encourage you to set a goal for the number of appointments that you want to have per month. So let's pick a simple example. Let's say that you have a goal of 20 appointments per month. So that breaks out to roughly one appointment per day. If you think about business days in the month, there are typically about 20 business days. You know, 5 business days per week times 4, that's 20. So if you set a goal of 20 appointments per month, then that's one per day. So do you think it's realistic for you to be able to set appointment per day? Now, by the way, it's a good idea not only to think about the appointments that you're setting, but also how many appointments you're actually going to run. Because here's the thing. The reality of the situation is that not everybody who sets an appointment will actually be available for the call. Sometimes people have to cancel. Sometimes people reschedule. I have an appointment today at 5 p.m. Pacific time, and what happened was I got a message a little while ago saying, it's the holidays, blah, blah, blah. Can we push our appointment to 5:30? So, and I've got to head out the door because I have another appointment coming up at 6 o'clock. So I said, well, we're going to have to keep our appointment very brief. I replied back by email and said, we'll have to keep our appointment to 15 minutes. So that happens. You know, sometimes it's rescheduling for another time today. Sometimes it's in a week or two. But the point here is that you should set a goal not only for the number of appointments to set, but also the number of appointments to run. And also remember, when you're setting an appointment, I might set an appointment today, but the appointment might not actually happen for a month. So I might make that appointment, say, for January or maybe even February. So you want a goal for how many appointments you're setting, but also how many appointments that you're running per day as well. So in other words, given the fact that people might cancel or reschedule, you should always set more appointments than you expect to run. So if your goal is to run 20 appointments per month, it would probably be a good idea to set maybe 25 to 30 appointments per month. Now, in a moment, I want to share with you some of the types of appointments that you can set. But before I do that, I want to share a quick story. And this is a personal experience. And this is a strategy that I implement in my business, and I've done this many times. This is not like a one-time thing that I do. It's something that I do regularly. So I sent out an email last week, and I offered to schedule an appointment with me. Now, I do this strategy often, and what I usually do is I ask people to send me an email and let me know. I ask for their name and phone number, and then when they respond to me, then I respond back by email, and I include a link to TimeTrade, which is the service that I use to book appointments. And in this particular case, I decided to do a little bit differently. I decided just to include the TimeTrade link in the email and ask people to schedule the appointments directly. My thinking is that if I ask people to email me, then I know for sure they're interested, and then I can send them the link, and if for whatever reason they don't schedule the appointment, then I can follow up and keep following up until I get a hold of them. But if I include the link directly to TimeTrade, then I'm only going to see if they booked the appointment. I'm not going to see the people who clicked on the link and they didn't schedule the appointment. But I figured, you know, what the heck? I like to vary things over time. I like to change up strategies. And so I decided to give it a shot. So I sent out the email, and within about 6 to 8 hours, I had 22 appointments on my calendar, 22 appointments. And what's interesting is the majority of people who scheduled appointments with me scheduled them within a cluster this week. And so I literally have 15 appointments booked between Monday and Wednesday of this week. So I had 5 appointments yesterday, I have 5 appointments today, and I have another 5 tomorrow. So when I talk about, you know, setting appointments and setting, say, a goal of, you know, one a day, you know, 20 appointments in a month, I want you to know, to me, that's a minimum number. That's a minimum number. And, you know, some people go days or weeks without having an appointment at all. And in my business, I talk to a lot of people. I talk to a lot of people every single day, whether I'm just making outbound calls or whether I have a coaching session with someone or some other type of appointment. So I'm literally on the phone just about all day long when I'm not actually working on projects. And so the one important idea to me here is that if you have the proper tools and you know how to use them and you have a network of people, then you can literally create appointments at will. You can literally create appointments at will. And so if I know I need to ramp up my appointments, then all I have to do is send out an email and I get an immediate result. Now, the strategy that I implement, it's a very specific strategy. There's a particular style of email that I send, and there's a particular approach that I use when setting the appointment. So we're going to get into some of the appointment setting techniques here in a moment. But I wanted to share that story with you because just understanding how that works and what the possibilities are could make a big difference for you and your business. Because in my experience, when I talk to people, especially these days, like everybody these days is just goo-goo for social media and everything else. And the thing is that, social media will only take you so far. And at a certain point, you need to reach out beyond social media and be talking to people directly. And so I will often use social media as a way to find people, to connect with them, and then lead them to a next step, whether it's going out and opting in for a free resource or registering for an event or just strictly reaching out and inviting them to schedule time to chat. So let me give you some of the different types of appointments that you can set in your business. And by the way, let me do a quick check-in here. I want to see how we're doing on Facebook here. Again, our comment goal for today is 25 comments, and looks like we are up to 7. So it's like Roy sharing a couple of ideas. And so I want to encourage Karen and Lori to jump in and share takeaways there as well. I'll say join us here, Karen, and join us here, Lori. So if you are able to be live with us on the chat, then I encourage you to do that. All right, let me run through the ideas here. So the first type of appointment is a phone appointment. I think the phone appointment is one of the most powerful ways that you can have an appointment because, number one, it's convenient. You don't have to get in your car and drive somewhere. So like tonight, I'm going to be getting in my car and drive a couple miles down the road and meet with somebody. And that's great, but I would much rather just kind of sit in the comfort of my office and make calls or have appointments with people. It's just a real super convenient way to operate. And for some people, it might be critical. If you are in a cold winter area, then you don't want to be driving around through snow and everything else and have the potential of getting stuck. So the phone can be could be a life or death situation in terms of being able to reach out to people, and also you can make a lot of calls. And again, you can also schedule appointments on the fly. You can reach out and talk to people and have an instant appointment with somebody. Sometimes when you call somebody, the opportunity might present itself for you just to talk to them right then and share some details. You can also do an in-person appointment. You can either go to somebody's office, you can have them come to your office, or you can meet them at a third-party location. Like in this case, I'm going to meet somebody at Starbucks. You can also do presentations to groups. You can go out and speak to a group. So you could have a front-of-room presentation in front of an association or at a conference or other event where you're presenting. And again, it could be just adding value, but it also could be an opportunity where you're leading people to a next step in working with you. It could be an opportunity to request a free resource and have them opt into your email list. It could be an opportunity to sell a product directly. You can also do presentations to group through conference calls and also webinars. Now, another technique is to hold a teleseminar. So you can get a conference bridge line, and you can hold a teleseminar, and then you can invite people to it. So if you do a teleseminar, that's an appointment, and you can invite people to that appointment, and you can have multiple people register and then attend that appointment. And you can also record that teleseminar, and you can make that recording available for people to listen to. And if somebody's listening to a recording of the teleseminar, that's an appointment too. You didn't necessarily have to schedule that appointment, but they'll still listen to the information. They'll get the value. They'll hear the offer at the end and the call to action, and they might go and sign up for whatever it is that you're offering. You can also hold webinars. The primary difference between a webinar and a teleseminar is that in a teleseminar, people listen, but there's not necessarily any visual content. And on a webinar, they can listen and they can look at, say, a set of PowerPoint slides or even you on video talking to them as well. You can also do a Google Hangout, similar to a webinar. They can hear you and they can also see you as well in your communicating information. There are also other types of video chat tools that you can use. You can live stream video on Ustream. And when I used to work with Laura Langmeyer as her affiliate manager, she would host events on Ustream. And what was nice about that is if you get a large enough audience, then it starts creating increased visibility and it starts being visible to everybody else who's out on Ustream at that time. And so as they're scrolling through and looking at popular channels, they might see that, click, and then join in on the chat as well. And then you can also do, there's a service called Ovoo, OOVOO.com, which does live streaming video and video chat as well. You can also do web meetings one-on-one. So you can do a webinar with multiple people, but you could also do a webinar where it's just you and one other person. That's another technique that I will use that I use on a regular basis. That's great anytime you want to demonstrate something or show an example of something, because you can be talking to them on the phone and then showing your screen on your computer. You can also create online videos and post them up on YouTube. And, most videos that I recommend you create might be short, high-impact videos, maybe 2 to 3 minutes long. But you could also do a longer video. You could do, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes or longer, and provide that as a way for people to go out and watch the content. You could post it on your blog, or you could also just have a private access page. And by the way, you can also use recorded teleseminars or webinars, and there are also tools which allow you to present a recorded webinar as if it were live. So technology gives you a lot of capabilities. There are a lot of things that you can do with technology if you take the time to learn how to implement it. Find the right tool, learn how to use it, and then implement. Now, let's talk for a moment about some ways that you can use technology to schedule a one-on-one appointment. I gave you or shared a story a little bit earlier about an email that I sent out last week that I used to book 22 appointments. So the technology tool that I use to make that happen is called TimeTrade. So TimeTrade is a great technology tool to use, and I encourage you to check it out. I don't have an affiliate link for it. You can just go out to TimeTrade and take a look at it and see if it's something that will be helpful. But if you think you would benefit from scheduling more appointments, then I encourage you to check it out. There are also other tools that are out there, including Appointment Quest, and many others that give you the same opportunity to be able to schedule an appointment. But I've tried about 6 different tools over time, and TimeTrade is my favorite. It offers a number of different benefits. Probably at some point I should just do a webinar just on TimeTrade and kind of walk you through the process and show you how to do it. But TimeTrade is a great tool. Now, how should you keep track of your appointments? Good question. So first of all, if you have a service like TimeTrade, you can integrate that in with your calendar. So the primary place that you want to keep track of appointments is in your calendar. And so obviously you'd want an electronic calendar like Google Calendar where you could add appointments to it. And so one of the things that TimeTrade does is it integrates with Google Calendar and it can look at your calendar and see if you're available and schedule appointments. One of the challenges that I had with some of the appointments that I set this week is I looked at my calendar afterwards and I realized I was double booked. And I thought, well, how is that possible? Because TimeTrade is supposed to see if I already have an appointment at that time and then not schedule anything. And then I realized, oh, yeah, I have multiple Google Calendars. I have one primary one that I use. And because I have multiple Google accounts that I work with, I have other calendars, and I sometimes accidentally add an appointment to the wrong calendar. But it will show up on my calendar as if it's on the right calendar. Because you can kind of have multiple calendars merge into one. And so I realized I had set a couple of appointments that were on another calendar, and therefore TimeTrade assumed that I was available during that time. So I had to fix that, and I've got to be careful as I set new appointments manually to make sure I'm putting them on the right calendar. Now, In addition to using an actual calendar to set appointments, I also recommend that you create some other kind of tracking mechanism, because the calendar is great for just knowing when an appointment is, or just looking historically to see what appointments that you had in the past, or you know what's coming up in the future. But there may also be some other tracking that you want to do for follow-up. So what I recommend that you do is to create a spreadsheet and then list out each of your appointments, and you can create additional columns of information, including status or follow-up notes or anything else like that. And so every appointment that you set, you can go back to that spreadsheet, and then you can do some follow-up over time, because not everybody that you have an appointment with is necessarily going to buy from you. And it might take multiple points of contact before somebody signs up. And so you want to be following up on a regular basis and talking to people, and that will increase the odds that they will eventually purchase. Now, well, let's talk for a moment about CRMs and how this ties in with it. So a CRM is a customer relationship management system, and some CRMs have a calendar. So you have to evaluate what you're doing, look at what technology tools you're using, and you know what I found is oftentimes you might have multiple tools that will do the same thing. And so then it's a matter of figuring out what's going to be the best tool for the job. So I'll give you an example. Years ago, I used to use a system called ACT. And one of the nice things about ACT is it had a built-in calendar. And so it would remind you when appointments were coming up, and you could be in a customer's record and reviewing the information there, and then you click a button and then add an appointment to the calendar. And everything would be integrated together. You could keep track of tasks and everything else like that. And so it's helpful to have a system like that that maintains that. But if you're using something like TimeTrade to book appointments, it may not be able to integrate in with that customer relationship management system. So in TimeTrade's case, I know it integrates with Google Calendar, and so that's what I use to tie it together. So the other thing is you might want to think about, is there anybody else who you want booking appointments for you? Maybe you hire an appointment setter, or you have an employee who is a receptionist, administrative assistant, or someone else like that who's responsible for following up and confirming appointments and maybe rescheduling. They may need access to be able to go in and access your calendar. So again, if it's in a CRM system, if they have access to it, they might be able to go in and do that. If you're using Google Calendar, then you have the ability to give rights to certain people, other people that have Google accounts, to go in and access your calendar and change appointments. You could make it view only, or you can give them the opportunity to be able to edit appointments as well. So those are factors that you want to consider, is are you going to have other people making changes to your calendar, or is it just you? Now, let's talk for a moment about the process of following up with people before and after an appointment. So first of all, when you book an appointment, there's no guarantee that people are going to remember that you have an appointment with them. And I find that a certain percentage of people that I reach out and call are not available when I call them. And so it's a best practice to remind them of the appointment. And there's a couple different ways you can do that. You can send out an email in advance of the appointment to remind them. And you can also call them and leave a voicemail, or if you reach them directly, you can call and remind them as well. So it's a good idea to at least do some type of a follow-up prior to the appointment to remind them that that appointment is coming up. And therefore, if they forgot to add it to their calendar, then they can go through and do it now, or if they need to contact you, then make sure you include your phone number so they can follow up with you as well. Now, after you have the appointment, obviously, if they purchased, then you would want to follow up afterwards with the people who bought. And if they don't purchase, then you'd want to follow up with them anyway. And you might share additional details. If you have a web page where they can go out and purchase a product, you could share that link. You could also use an autoresponder series as a way of following up over time with them as well. But you need some kind of an organized approach to know who to follow up with, when to follow up with them, how often to follow up, and what messages to send out over time, and how much time elapses from one message to the next. All right, in a moment I'm going to respond to questions out in the Facebook group, so now would be a great time to go out and post your questions in the Facebook group. I'll go out there in a few minutes and start reading some of the comments out there. Our goal today is for 25 comments, so feel free to join us out on the Facebook group and post a message there. Now, let's talk for a moment about videos specifically. So again, I mentioned earlier that videos might be a great way to be able to share information, add value, and then even lead people to a next step in working with you. So what type of video could you create where you lead people to a next step in working with you? Well, first of all, it depends on what you're offering, depends on what the price point is, depends on whether it's time sensitive. But you have to think about what information you can share that would educate people on a specific topic that would tie in with whatever it is that you have to offer. Because you always want to attract people in on the front end based on where you can create the most value, but also where it's going to lead to a natural next step in working with you. And again, if you create a video to sell a specific product or a service or a program, you probably want to make that video a little bit longer. You don't want to do a 2 to 3 minute video. You want to do a 5, 10, 15, or even 20 minute video, something where you can go through in depth. In fact, internet marketers use this strategy all the time. And they have a very specific style of video that they create. Instead of having them on video where they're just talking and people are looking at them and they're sharing details, they will often talk and then use a set of PowerPoint slides. And there's a very particular style they use where they kind of flash from one slide to the next, and literally almost in a lot of cases they will have whatever they're saying appear on screen. And so they create a PowerPoint slide deck, and they'll go through and they'll either just read the slides or just share the information as they go through the content. And so one of the benefits to that is there are a lot of visuals. You know, every 20 or 30 seconds, they're flipping to the next slide. It also creates a reinforcement because as they're talking, you can see the words on the screen. In some cases, they might bold or underline words to draw attention to it. Sometimes we will use visuals in the PowerPoint presentation, but this could be a great video to create where you're sharing information and can occasionally show some visuals. And that also satisfies part of the problem that people, one of the challenges people have is that they don't care, or they're concerned about how they're going to look on video. So if you're using a set of PowerPoint slides, then people aren't seeing you, they're just seeing the video. Now you could put your picture up there from time to time, you know, go to a slide and then have your picture, and that helps people, you know, get connected to you individually by seeing your picture there, and then they hear you talking. Now, you can also use your blog to create appointments. And so I'll come back to this idea in a few minutes, but let me go ahead and pop out on the Facebook page and read some of the comments out there. And we may wrap up our call a few minutes early. All right, looks like we have about 19 comments out there so far, so great job. Okay, let's see. Roy says, three key sales systems for any business: lead generation, appointment setting, and lead conversion. And today we're focusing on the second, on appointment setting. Roy said, you can set appointments with multiple tools, including phone, email, video, etc. Use the tools that best enable you to connect with your prospects. Yeah, good point. You know, depending on who you're trying to reach, they may have a preferred style of communication. Some people just like talking over the phone. Other people prefer checking email. For others, they might looking at videos. In fact, one interesting audience for videos is executives. I've read before that executives like watching videos and get a lot of information in a short period of time and learn information on a topic. So you might want to consider using some videos as a strategy, and then also use that as an opportunity to lead to an appointment. Roy says, set a monthly appointment goal and break it into weekly goals. Yeah, absolutely. So obviously with my goal, if my goal were to have to set 20 appointments in the month, I achieve that, you know, with one email. And I'll have far more appointments than that for this month. I'll probably end up having more like 40 appointments. And when you consider how many people that I might reach on teleseminars and webinars, the number of people that I'm reaching through appointments might reach upwards of 100 people or more. So think about how many people that you want to be reaching through appointments. Roy says, using a systematic strategy lets you increase your appointment volume as needed. Yes, absolutely. You know, think about the different methods that you can use to schedule appointments. And again, it could be picking up the phone and calling people to book appointments. It might be posting a message on social media to invite people to schedule an appointment. It might be sending an email. It might be something else. It might be using live events, teleseminars and webinars as a way to schedule an appointment with people. And again, that would be an appointment one to many. Now, Roy says, the first type of appointment is a phone appointment. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. And in this day and age, you know, I'm seeing messages out on social media from people who are, I guess, getting tired of seeing a lot of business-related messages out on social media, and they're starting to kind of react to that. And, you know, I shifted a lot of my social media marketing last year away from, you know, more business-oriented messages, more toward personal-oriented messages. I use my personal Facebook page more for creating interaction and engagement. I use my business page to share tips, ideas, and information. And on occasion, I'll share a free offer or something else. But some people are just kind of nonstop business-oriented, and I think that's turning off a lot of people. So, you know, more and more people, I think, are looking for ways to connect individually with people, either in person or by phone. And so think about how to shift your own strategy to accomplish more of that as well. Roy says live appointments can be one-on-one. Yeah, absolutely. I don't do a whole lot of one-on-one appointments or meetings in person. I probably prefer to go to like a networking event and make connection with a lot of people at once. And then perhaps do some phone follow-up after that. So you just have to think about your own self and what are the best strategies for you, what's going to be the best way for you to connect, and also for your audience, what do they prefer? Karen says, setting appointments is a good way to build trust and rapport. Absolutely. You know, having an appointment with someone and even just talking to them and scheduling the appointment can be a great way to build trust and rapport as well. And you should always ask questions. You know, one thing with the strategy that I implemented for the appointments that I did, it's not a heavy sales presentation. My primary focus is on adding value and also learning about my potential customers, having a conversation with them, asking some questions. And so I don't necessarily assume that I'll always just make a sale on the first time that I talk to somebody. But when just simply by booking an appointment or setting an appointment, it lets me know that that person is interested. And that's very valuable, having that piece of information that somebody's interested in a specific topic or idea or product. That's very valuable to know. And so that strategy, one of the ways to look at it is to get people to raise their hand. When you can have people raise their hand interest, then it gives you an opportunity to be able to communicate on an ongoing basis and add more value and lead them to a next step in working with you. Roy says live appointments can also be set up by speaking to groups. Yeah, absolutely. And again, so here's another idea around setting appointments. You can set specific goals around certain types of appointments. So let's say that you're also a speaker and you want to speak to groups on a regular basis. So what you could do is you could say, I want to have, say, 2 or 3 or 4 speaking appointments per month. Those would be opportunities to go out and speak to a group. So you could set specific goals for certain types of appointments. Roy says conference calls and webinars can also be appointment setting tools. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, my goal is to have at least one event per week, a free event that I can offer out to the public. And that also ties in with my other marketing efforts because I share opportunities through email, in my newsletter, through social media. And so if I have an event that's coming up, if I make sure that I'm scheduling an event, that I have something to share. And if I haven't scheduled anything, then I know I'm missing out. I might be sending out a newsletter, and I look, and I go, oh, no, I have no events to share. I better come up with something real quick. And what's nice is I have hosted most of the presentations that I've done, the teleseminars and webinars. I've done each one of them multiple times. And so I had a lot of work up front over the last number of years creating content and pulling together all the details that I needed for those appointments. And now it's a much easier process because I have a registration page set up in a lot of cases. I know what I'm going to share, and so I can just pick a date, schedule it, and then start inviting people to it. And so part of your marketing efforts will gain steam over time. They'll build momentum as you start to duplicate the strategies that you've implemented. Because anything that you do usually is worth doing multiple times. So if you're going to go to the trouble of creating a webinar, why not plan on hosting that webinar a couple times per year and just do that on an ongoing basis? Roy says, one-on-one meetings can also be useful for sharing visual aids. Absolutely. Yeah, if you do a one-on-one meeting, you could do that strictly by phone, but you could also have some other way of using a visual as well, whether it's using a service like I use GoToWebinar, which also offers GoToMeeting, which is more of like for smaller groups. But there are also a lot of other services as well. One of the other services I've used is called Join.me, J-O-I-N.me. And that's a great service that you can use. It's got a free version and also a paid version that you can use. And so you could be on the phone with somebody, and you could have them go out to join.me, and you could be doing screen sharing as well. All right. Roy says one-on-one meetings can be – actually, I already read that one. He says, use spreadsheets to record and view appointment information. Yeah, absolutely. I'm often surprised at how disorganized a lot of people are when it comes to keeping track of things. And I'm very organized. I probably have over 600 different spreadsheets that I've set up for different areas of my business. And so I have spreadsheets upon spreadsheets upon spreadsheets, and I can quickly go in and locate what I need, and I can track information. And so I'm paying attention to every aspect of my business, and I track it through different steps in the process. And so I can go back years, and I can see for a specific promotion that I ran, I can say, okay, for this email that I sent out back in 2012, you know, 2 years ago, I had 10 people who were interested in this. And I can go back and I can look to see who signed up and who didn't, and I can go back and follow up with them. So, you know, follow up, they say the fortune is in the follow up. And having systems in place, whether it's a CRM or whether it's a spreadsheet or some other tool, can help you to be very organized in that approach. All right. Let's see here. Roy says, Rick, Teresa's trying to call in and having some problems getting on the bridge line. Any other ideas beyond trying to call back? Nope. You know, it happens at times. Let me just check to see if she's on. There is somebody else who's joined us on the call. I'm not sure who it is, so I'm not sure if that's Teresa or not. But, oh, here we go. Roy says, looks like she got on by switching phones. Yeah, sometimes the specific phones might have an issue or a phone service, depending, like a mobile phone might have an issue from time to time. So if that's you, Teresa, thanks for joining in today. Roy says, follow up before and after an appointment. Absolutely. Yeah, don't just assume that if you schedule an appointment with somebody that they're going to show up. You know, people are distracted. People are confused. People, you know, many people, they'll schedule an appointment, but they won't add it to their calendar, or they'll schedule an appointment and they will maybe not even plan on showing up. Some people are kind of flaky at times. So, you know, you have to do a little bit of follow-up in advance to make sure that you're reminding them of that appointment. And the other thing is think about ways to create some additional value. Like, what can you do to let them know about some additional value that they're going to get from the appointment? Is there something else that you're going to do in the appointment that will motivate them to want to be there? That can be an effective motivator as well. Okay, it looks like we're caught up on the comments for now. So I'm going to go back and share another idea in my notes. And let's talk for a moment about what kind of blog posts that you can create to book appointments. So first of all, you could add a blog post to your site, and at the end of the blog post, you could invite people to schedule an appointment. So obviously, if you have an electronic service like TimeTrade, which allows people to schedule an appointment, then you could include a link directly on your website where they can click and then schedule the appointment. Another technique is to lead them first to an opt-in page where they can fill out details and gather information and then after that you send them the link to Time Trade, for instance. The benefit of that is if they're not already on your email list, then you get the opt-in first before scheduling the appointment. There's a value in having a pre-client funnel, meaning that you communicate certain information or you help to qualify them in advance before you actually have the appointment with them. So generally, I don't put Time Trade links just out on social media or out on my website. I would rather have them first opt into my email list, get information over time, and then lead them to a next step. I want to make sure that they've had a chance to get some value from me first before I have an appointment with them. So, but that's not to say that you can't implement that strategy on your website. For some people, that might be an effective technique to use. You could also record a video, by the way, and you can invite people to schedule an appointment with you. And here's another way to utilize that is that, again, you could put that video out on your website, and then you could lead people to watch the video from email. So you send out an email, you encourage people to go watch the video, and then on the video you invite people to schedule the appointment. And then you could give them a link. You could have a link embedded on the web page where people can click and schedule the appointment. So there's a number of different techniques to do that. Now, you can also use a blog post to be able to invite people to register for an event, for a teleseminar or a webinar. And remember, based on the definition that I shared earlier, an appointment can be a teleseminar or a webinar. So you might want to think about what type of blog post that you can create that would lead to have people book an appointment with you. And again, initially you might want to start off with something like a teleseminar or webinar where you're able to add value, but also do that in mass. You're able to communicate with multiple people at once. In fact, another strategy that you could use is that you could host a teleseminar or a webinar, and at the end of the presentation, you could invite people to schedule a one-on-one appointment with you. That's another technique as well. So there's no shortage of ideas for scheduling appointments. There's only a shortage of your imagination. And so think creatively and prioritize. What are the top priorities for different types of appointments for you to create? And set goals around that and then get into action. And here's the thing. You know, the longer you're at this, the bigger your email list is going to grow, the more people that you'll be connected with on social media. And so every time you implement a strategy to book appointments, typically you're going to get a bigger and bigger response. So I mentioned earlier that I sent out an email. I encouraged people to schedule an appointment with me, and that generated 22 appointments. And when I've implemented the strategy in the past, typically it's generated anywhere from 5 to 10 to 15 or so. But 22, that's one of the largest responses that I've had. And what's nice is because I use the Time Trade link directly in the email, all those appointments, they were booked instantly. And so within 6 to 8 hours, I had 22 appointments on my calendar. Whereas in the past, where I had to follow up and send them an email, then it might take upwards of a week to get them scheduled, and I might only get a fraction. If I had, say, 10 people contact me, then I might end up with only, you know, 6 or 7 appointments actually booked on my calendar. So I'm pretty satisfied with the results. I'll probably still use the same, the other strategy where I ask people to email me, but I will probably use this strategy more and more just because of the response that I got from it. So it's a good idea to test and measure. Try out different techniques and see what results that you get. But that was a resounding yes, like this, you know, this strategy definitely works. Now, by the way, one of the appointments that I set was with somebody in Australia. And so when it came time to call, or actually a couple hours before, I was thinking, a foreign appointment, this is going to be a little bit challenging. So I had to go out and look up online to see how do you make a phone call to Australia. And even following the directions, I messed up initially. But I also sent out a reminder email in advance, and I said one other option for us to connect would be to connect on Skype. And if you'd like to connect with me on Skype, here's my Skype ID. And I also went out and did a search, and I found the person, and I clicked to connect with him on Skype. Even despite all those efforts, despite trying to reach them on Skype, despite the email reminder, and despite actually successfully being able to call, I was not able to reach them. They didn't even have a voicemail message set up. It just rang, 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 and so I wasn't able to leave a message. But at least I had a couple different ways that I tried to reach them. And that's the way it is sometimes. Sometimes you, you have an appointment, you've got it scheduled, and you try to reach them, and for whatever reason, the appointment doesn't happen. And so, don't get upset when that happens. That's one of the reasons why you want to always schedule more appointments than you're actually going to need, because there's going to be something that happens, or you might have a problem, or maybe you get double booked and have to move an appointment, and now, it's booked out, another 2 weeks in advance or something. So there are always little challenges like that that happen. Okay, let me do a quick refresh on the Facebook page. Our goal again today was to have 25 comments. Looks like we're up to 23, so great job. And let me keep reading comments on here. Roy says, blog posts can conclude with appointment invitations. Yeah, absolutely. By the way, you could just have a text message in there and then include the link, or you could also include a banner ad. You could create a little image, and it could say something like, click here to schedule an appointment, and then you would hyperlink the image and then have it link out to a service like TimeTrade. So they'll click, they'll go out to TimeTrade, and then they can schedule the appointment directly through there. Roy says, videos can be used similar to blog posts to extend appointment invitations. Videos can be used similar to blog posts to extend appointment invitations. Exactly. Yeah, just, add value, and at the end of the video, then invite people to schedule an appointment. By the way, one question that comes up sometimes is, how much does it cost to use TimeTrade or other services like that? I don't have the numbers exactly at my fingertips, but it's about $60 per year. So, yes, there is an expense there, but the way I look at it is, for me at least, sending out one email, I was able to book 22 appointments. If one of those 22 appointments leads to a sale, and let's say I'm selling a product at $97, one appointment has already paid for the service. So I like to think of technology in a way where a specific technology tool can allow me to create a result that pays for itself. So that's one of the ways to think about the technology tools that you're using in your business. If you can use that technology tool to generate a sale, then that sale will pay for that technology tool itself. And then any other sales that you get over the course of a year, for instance, then that's just gravy. That's icing on the cake. Roy says, blogs can also be used to extend event invitations. Right. Yeah, you can invite people to register for a teleseminar or a webinar. I don't do enough of those types of posts. With all the events that I do, I don't promote mine enough through the blog. So I need to do more of that myself. One of the reasons I don't do that is because I like to have more evergreen type content on my blog. If you put an event up there and invite people to attend, and then the date comes and goes, then if people land on that page in the future and you don't have an upcoming date, then it's a missed opportunity. They might click to the page and see that the event happened, a couple months ago. So by the way, if you do redo events, make sure that you utilize that same page that's linking out from the blog post. Another idea is, when you finish an event, you should always schedule another one just like it, even if it's scheduled for 3 or 4 months from now. Go ahead and take advantage and get another one set up. And that way, if somebody does come across that blog post, they see the event, they click through, they'll see that there's an event coming up in a couple months, and they might go ahead and register for it. So might as well take advantage of that extra time. And then Roy says, another place you can link to an appointment video is in an email. Right. You could create a video to invite people to schedule an appointment, and then you send an email message to go watch the video. You could either send people out to YouTube to watch it, or out to Vimeo, or even just embed the blog on your website or on a blog page. All right. Looks like we're all caught up on comments. And we hit our magic number of 50. Oh, there's two more from Roy. Roy says, text hyperlinks can make it easy for people to register for appointments, right? So you just have a call to action, something like click here to register or click here to schedule an appointment with me. And then you hyperlink the text so that when people click on that link, then it takes them directly to a web page. But you could also hyperlink an image as well. And then Roy said, TimeTrade is roughly $60 per year. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the call today. I want to thank you for joining me on the call. Hopefully you got a lot of great information and strategies that will help you to book more appointments. And I encourage you to go back through and review your notes 3 times over the next week. I encourage you to set some goals for appointments. At least set a goal for the number of appointments that you want to be setting. I mean, think about how many you want to run per week and per month, and then how many you need to set to accomplish that goal. And then I want you to think about the different ways that you could set appointments and start stepping up your activity. If you're not having enough appointments, basically if you're not generating enough sales in your business, you're probably not having enough appointments with people. And so you need to think about how you can step up the number of appointments that you have. And so that's going to require getting a little bit more organized, creating some different strategies that will help you set appointments, and so you can review the notes from today's call on how to do that, and then get into action. And I wouldn't recommend trying to take on all these different strategies today, but maybe pick one or two to start with. So thanks for joining me on the call. I look forward to connecting with you on next week's call. Have a great week, and God bless.